Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound. Today we're asking, how do you make a playlist? Playlists are everywhere, in the clothes shop where you bought your new shirt, in the bar where you went for drinks last night, hell, even on the radio. Playlists are also what DJs do in clubs. They're about putting one song after another, depending upon reading the vibes in a room, aren't they? Playlists are also something you get the great and the good to do for brands. There's a little of reflected glory in playlisting. Yes, it's a bad verb too. I'm 38, so for me, playlist seems to me like an iTunesification of the word mixtape. But be sure of it, playlists are everywhere. Coming up on How Do You Make a Playlist, we ask how music gets into stores and onto commercials. We speak to a DJ in Lebanon who hates digital and playlists using just 45s. And we meet a South American duo who are using playlists to bring the music of their continent overseas.
People think that creating a playlist is really easy process and quick, but for us it's like an art.
That's all to come on Culture with me, Robert Bounds, on Monocle 24. Rebecca Grierson is a music supervisor and director of Catalyst Music Consultancy. The company provides soundtracks for everything from adverts to luxury brands to hotels. Before this, she was a radio producer for big-name music radio shows on the BBC, so she's well poised to know a thing or two about playlist. I met Rebecca a little earlier.
You're always thinking about your demographic, so who is actually going to be hearing this and what the purpose is. I guess if it's for like a kind of gig and a live interaction thing, you're going to have people reacting to it in front of you, so you can read their reactions and see where you're steering your music. But when it's in terms of like being in a venue and it's pre-programmed and it's more in the category of being background music, then you need to really kind of plan ahead a lot more and really think about the ordering and scheduling and day parting. So figuring out
day parting.
Yeah.
Okay, so now this is we're gonna put an asterisk on this one.
Absolutely.
explain yourself here.
Okay, so yeah, it's more in the respect of looking at the part of the day. So you wouldn't play kind of, well, most venues who are selling products wouldn't play kind of blaring techno in the morning section of the day. It's generally a softer start, not to scare clients away. And then steering into the afternoon part, and then you've got your early evening section, and then going into late evening and your late night playlisting. So they'll all be approached in a different manner. So it's a whole different set of content according to the time of the day, if you're doing it properly.
There is an idea of, you know, a radio schedule to this. There is an idea of you having a breakfast show, having maybe a softer wake up in a clothes store, for example, than you would on the BBC in the morning on the radio, kind of a very bright and up kind of thing that you might get on Radio 1 or Radio 2 or something like that. So it sort of follows the kind of, I suppose it follows the day in that sense.
Yeah, the rhythm of the day.
The rhythm of the day as well. The metabolism of the day.
Absolutely,
But obviously there's not someone behind the decks kind of putting things together. There is also a kind of thing that you can do, I think, in catering and in restaurants where you subscribe to an online radio station and it has a jazz vibe, it has a dinner vibe, it has a kind of intimate vibe, or it has a party vibe. And that you just sort of press a button in your restaurant and this particular sort of ooze of music comes out of your speakers. Have you ever done anything like that? Is that part of your universe?
I used to do a lot of programming for hotels, like really high-end hotels. I once got flown out to the Maldives to do a consultancy and work on a resort there. So we were looking at everything, all the different areas on the resort, and making sure it's creating exactly the right mood.
So you've got the bar, the swimming pool, the lobby, different atmospheres.
The
different spa places.
As well. I used to love doing spas. I've programmed quite a lot of spas, actually.
Yeah.
There's a real skill to it and a real art, because it's quite, you've got your kind of dolphin noise, panpipe end of the spectrum, and then you've got your really beautiful orchestral, maybe some kind of film score music, which is a lot kind of more comfortable to listen to. I think people find it very distracting if they're having treatments, for example, and they've got some really irritating, looped, repeated, really poorly produced music. So the spa brands I was working with, we would really look at like every single track and make sure it flowed together and it's got the right amount of notes and it's minimal and it's not distracting.
Thank you. And let's talk about you know, working with brands. You said you know, a spa and a hotel in the Maldives has a very specific prescription for how it wants to sound and the brand that it wants to be, I suppose. You have to be careful when you're kind of becoming, temporarily at least, in terms of taking over the music, a sort of brand steward. How detailed are the conversations you have with people at hotels or, you know, the agencies for TV commercials, et cetera, et cetera? Because, you know, you're really kind of planting a flag in the ground, aren't you, and saying something by the music you choose to go over their imagery and their offering in the world, I suppose. So how detailed are those discussions?
Extremely. Yeah, we go into lots of detail at the very start of the process by evaluating everything about the brand and the demographic and spending time in the space, just observing, watching people, like kind of really getting to know their clientele inside out. So you're not just shoving a bunch of music on there kind of half-heartedly. Look at everything, the patterns, the sales, who they want to be attracting, and sometimes they want to shift their clientele. So using music as one of the layers to try and shift that can really completely change who visits a bar on a Friday night. You know, you can completely change the mood with the music direction you're going in. So it would take quite a long time to get the music direction signed off. There's a lot of demo phases and a lot of preemptive playlists that we'll try out until we hone a direction. So you'll come up with your 12 guide tracks, and then usually, and for each day part, so you break it all down and then you get to stay a place where you're happy, and then that becomes your guide for the rest of the content. So yeah, you do have to spend quite a lot of time getting to that stage, and once you get there, you grow it and you roll it out, and then it usually comes back with changes. Really, really important that the products being sold are matching your music, and it's the sound of your brand is being, you know, properly represented. It's, yeah, there's nothing worse than going into a store where it just feels out of place. It really sticks out and kind of distracts. It's all about the psychology of shopping and putting people into the right frame of mind to spend money. And so they're more relaxed, in a good mood you're trying to put people into, rather than kind of irritating them or drawing attention or offending them with bad language.
Get them to get in and out
or,
as quickly as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Even sort of certain really high-end stores, like, we have to be really careful about any religious references, especially in London with, you know, international shoppers. Yeah, you can get phone calls, and so we have to vet everything, make sure there's no offensive language or swearing, or, you know, you can put some kind of really grime-heavy track in there if it's, you know, going to offend people in the shop. That's not going to go down well and be more damaging for their sales.
What's the optimum length for a playlist? They say the perfect album's 40 minutes. Say you're in a kind of vaguely funky hotel lobby and you didn't want it to sound like a party, but you wanted it to sound contemporary, and the music might be irrespective of that, but how long a loop of songs do you kind of tend to recommend for something like that?
I would say a minimum of 2 hours to really, you know, just have that really nice flow.
Yeah.
So it's not like the music's hopping around and dramatically changing. It's all kind of linked in. And I mean, there's various like tech systems, playout systems you can use. A lot of the programming we work with, it's randomised. The reason for that is it can really drive the staff crazy, because you're
they
really
know
thinking,
what's gonna
happen next. It's very, really, really important for the people who are working in the venue, because they will genuinely complain at their bosses, and it kind of demotivates them. So they're super important for thinking about your programming as well. And the ultimate formula for repetition is 2.5 days. So we try and make sure that no track is heard within 2.5 days so they don't get bored. So we could have those playlists over 3 months and then introduce more tracks, or we can introduce tracks on a weekly basis. So it just never sounds the same. So you don't look at the clock and go 11 o'clock. I'm going to hit Beck now.
Groundhog
Day. Yeah, exactly.
That was Rebecca Grierson, director of Catalyst Music here in London, and we'll hear a little bit more from her towards the end of the show. Lebanese DJ Ernesto Shahoud doesn't like playlists at all. In fact, he doesn't like anything to do with computers, iTunes, or digitally stored music. When he plays a set, the 34-year-old philosophy graduate only uses vinyl, or to be specific, 45s. His speciality is soul, funk, hip-hop, and disco, and in 2009, he set up the Beirut Groove Collective, a club night to share his favourite records with the growing crowds in Lebanon who are looking for a different type of night out. Monocle's Beirut correspondent, Venetia Rainey, went to his tiny record store to find out what goes through his mind when he's coming up with a playlist on the spot. Here is my heart, darling, take it. Here is my heart, please don't break it. I surrender my
love to you. 45 is perfect, actually, format for DJing. If you want to play funk and soul, and if you want to really dig for obscure artists from like 70s, 60s, 70s, that was the main culture, actually, the main clubbing culture. So you have one record, and you have one track, and that's all what you need. When you have, actually, when you do strictly 45, so you just need to go with your 45, so you have a limited amount of records you can carry. It's not like when you're taking a laptop, which is very popular now. Oh, you can have thousands and of millions of songs and like, oh, you don't know shit about it. Maybe you never heard it all and just to go just with your laptop. So this is how I put in general my set. That's what you find in my box. So I put some 45s, like very kinda same speed, you know what I mean? And like I put a bunch next to each other in a row, and I know these records. If it works, then we're gonna go on with this. There's loads of DJs, they do a preset, like, you know, they bring it and they play one record after the other, one record after the other. And this is really nice, but never worked for me, because I always change my mind about what record I want to play, especially if you're interacting. You said, oh, this record's good, but then, oh, no, I want to play this one. So you get your records, and like, usually how I do it, I just get what I think is gonna really work on dance floor, records I'm excited never played before, and records they never left my box, for example, or this record has always saved my heart, so I put it. Like, for example, Ricky Calloway, Tell Me, is a great record. There is kind of experimenting when you have new records, because sometimes you think, oh wow, this is a fucking banger, and like, oh, it's too obscure, like, didn't work. But always you try it, you know, again and again. Sometimes, oh, you just give up. Because I think, oh, this is what makes the thrill of going and DJing, is when you really find a record that never been played before, to find your own sound.
That was DJ Ernesto Shahoud speaking to Monocle's Beirut correspondent Venetia Rainey. After break, we'll learn about an Argentinian duo who are taking South American music overseas through playlisting. You guessed it. Stay tuned.
Meet the Writers is the show in which we have a chance to get intimate with some exciting authors. Airing at 1500 every Saturday and available as a podcast thereafter, it's an in-depth discussion about the life and work of a different writer every week, with me, Georgina Godwin, on Monocle 24.
You're listening to Culture on Monocle 24, where this week we're asking the question, what makes a good playlist? Our next guests are an Argentine duo who are using playlists to promote the music of South American musicians abroad. Diego Gelfin and Estefania Panizza came to London to launch Radio Cascabel, an online radio stream and music consultancy service. They curate playlists of Latino music, the kind of stuff that might not have been brought to our attention otherwise. Holly Fisher met the pair in Midori House to discuss what makes a good playlist, the difference between a playlist and a DJ set, and why mixes are such a good way to discover new music.
Radio Cascabel is a conceptual music project, and we also work with visual artists. We work on Latin American emerging artists. We do different things. We have an online radio on radiocascabel.com, and we offer some music services, some playlists for restaurants and bars. We make DJ sets. We do different stuff related to new music.
Sed de él, desde ser con él hasta desvanecer, ceder, preceder, entregarse entero. Mi amor, único de si lo cabe otro no. Es el cierto, aparenta ausencia y aún así sigue presente, tan latente como la materia, tan firme y sólido.
On your website, you've got the kind of live stream, but you also have playlists. What's the difference between your live stream and your playlists?
As Diego was saying, we are musical and visual curators, and we develop in our platform like a streaming with our playlists that are really specific because they focus on Latin American talents. And although our platform is digital, our ethos is rooted in analog. We handpick the songs, and our selection of the playlists are entirely handmade, so we don't use any random or shuffle display. And although we have our playlist section, that is a playlist that a part of the radio that we invite and encourage members of our community to make their own playlists and share them, that's the most interactive part we have. Sometimes people think that creating a playlist is something really easy, process and quick, but for us it's like an art. It's an art that requires skills that they have to be nurtured and they have to be developed.
Oh, Rosa, Rosita, qué bien sería si tú fueras mía.
Well, let's talk about some of those skills then. How do you go about making a playlist? Where's your starting point?
Well, there are a lot of elements involved in the building of a good playlist. Yet for us, simplicity and creativity are very, very important. But here are our tips. First, you have to listen to a wide range of songs. Know intimately the songs you are going to play. Then consider the audience. Be flexible. It's not, I am going to do this because I am like this. No, no, you have to think where it's going to be played. We always try to play new music. That's what we do. We analyze styles, instruments, feelings, rhythm, composition in order to make subtle but recognizable transition from one song to the next. It's important to create a message through the choice you are doing. Don't focus solely on the tempo or the rhythm of the song. Put together a rough draft, keeping specific atmosphere in mind, that's firstly. This can relate to the time of the day or a particular mood, for example, night or going out or ambient, or you want to be relaxed. Well, you group a bunch of songs and then you arrange the tracks.
I hope you
The part of arranging the tracks for us is really important because you have to consider to start out the playlist with a few tracks that are going to grab the listener and they're going to take his or her attention. Then you have to group similar songs together, maybe for the tempo, making a gradual transition between songs that are slower to faster rhythm. But also for us it's really important to pay attention to the order of the songs. If we're an album or a vinyl, you have to make sure there is a coherent whole. And also for us, we call this like shake the tree. To another tip to keep the attention of the listener is to change things up. For instance, if you come up with one song or two with instrumental parts, You can shift up with a strong groove, a track with vocals or a faster rhythm. And also it's important to finish the playlist with a really interesting song, a song that is going to stick in the people who are listening to, like a kind of parting gift.
That was Diego Gelfin and Estefania Panizza, founders of Radio Cascabel. And if you want the lowdown on the best new South American music, then head to radiocascabel.com. To finish the programme, we're going back to our music supervisor friend Rebecca Grierson to see, in fact, just what that job means. Picking songs to play under commercials and in films, what a great gig. So how does this part of making a playlist work?
The process is completely different for advertising and film and TV. Generally, you're really much closer with the director and their vision than an overall kind of brand sound. So, yeah, it's kind of getting their kind of vision to come to life within the budget constraints, which sometimes don't always line up really easily, but sometimes you get really brilliant budgets to work with, and it's great. You can, you know, really go to town with your dream artists. And other times it's a kind of case of seeing what you can do within that kind of pot of money to make it as close as possible.
So you're alluding now to an interesting area that I wanted to ask you about, which is music supervision, supervising. To give our listeners, if they don't know what this is choosing tracks to go over the end credits of a movie or the title sequence of a TV show or something. You know, it could be a really big hit single. It could be something that certainly adds weight and a kind of mood and a vibe to that scene in that movie. This is something you do. This is fascinating stuff. This is good business to be in isn't it?
Yeah.
So tell us about how that started for you, about working with music and then being able to offer your services to film directors and TV production companies.
Yeah, it's definitely a good natural progression from coming from radio backgrounds and then all of the brands work that we did, programming all of the various luxury brands I've worked with, putting it to visuals.
Yeah.
It's like the next kind of natural step really for us. And yeah, we have great fun doing it. And it does, everything kind of hops around according to the medium. So film licensing is very different to advertising licensing, and the budgets and the way things are programmed, and actually the deals are
so the bit they're bigger budgets.
So yeah, film tends to be more standard, 10-15% of the overall film budget. It's looser in advertising. It's kind of a different time, really, just in terms of like where advertisers are with the pots of money. So sometimes you can get really good fees. Other times it's left to the very last 11th hour, and you're seeing what you can do.
Stick a song on it.
Yeah. Okay. So, and it's not in relation necessarily to the overall media spend. So yeah, it does kind of vary from each different medium, and then obviously online is huge now, so the budgets are increasing for online, because obviously it's got a huge quantifiable results. So it's getting better.
Some bands, for example, will charge a lot for their song to be used, but presumably, I mean, we know from the case of the Vodafone commercial, the Dandy Warhol's kind of career took off because their song was used as the kind of leitmotif to, it seemed like, an international campaign for Vodafone. So it can also make a band. If you want to go and see people playing the Vodafone commercial at a festival, they're the ones, right? But it's an interesting thing. So it can, how does that work? Are bands on the up very keen to have, or commercially minded bands that are on the up, keen to have their songs used in advertising and in films, and bands that are, the Rolling Stones, for example, charge a lot of money? Is that the kind of basic rule?
I guess, the very, black and white view of it, definitely.
Yeah.
There's no rule of thumb, there's no rate card as such with these things. It's all about negotiating. It depends on the creative team, the director. Yeah, it can really help break new music. Mm. It can really raise people's profile. I think if it's the right brand partnership, if there's definitely some kind of reasoning behind it, it can be a really successful way of getting absolutely brilliant exposure, which can also earn the money for the band quite early on in their career. They could reinvest that into recording and, taking their kind of career to the next level. So it can work really, really well.
And in terms of choosing stuff for adverts, all the rest of it, you can never be, I guess, a listener just for fun anymore. When you kind of, you're in your head, you're probably making playlists. In your head, you're maybe pairing brands with bands, even if they're brand new. It's the first time you've heard a track on the radio or a promo CD you've been sending the post. What do you listen to when you're relaxing? Or are you always making playlists in your head?
I do manage to switch off eventually. But like today, like I know that I'm going to be going away listening to a lot of the OJs because that's our next project coming up. Which is really fun to produce yourself. I listen to a lot of film music and film scores. It depends on my particular mood, really, regardless of what we're working on. If it's for personal, it depends how I want to engage with the music and feel. And I still listen to a lot of radio shows and lots of different resources, really, for gathering new music. But yeah, I don't get bored.
What about listening to LPs beginning to end? I mean, does that feel like a very sort of Sunday afternoon luxury project for you? I mean, you must always be wondering how one song sounds against another in a playlist, as opposed to sort of letting it run its course. Tell us about that.
Well, I set out with like really good intentions throughout the day, and you know, tools that I do enjoy Spotify for that reason, because you can queue on our Sonos in the office. Sometimes we kind of queue jump each other, that can get interesting, but you can line up what you're going to listen to for the day. Whether or not that actually gets to happen is a different story, because you'll kind of get interrupted by an actual, you have to repeatedly listen to demos over and over and just sort of check and feedback to things. So sometimes you seamlessly get a good run where you can get a whole album in, but other times you need to jump on your headphones and be checking reference tracks or just going over or doing a music search. We'll get a music search in, which we help to try and find a track for an advert usually, and we'll go through like sometimes different mood boards for that. So we're looking at different areas that we could steer the ship.
You're talking in terms of genre and country and western, and it turns into sort of folk, and then it turns into something just to give a commercial a different vibe, a different atmosphere, a different
completely.
Suggestion.
Completely. Like sometimes briefs can just do a full pendulum swing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when the edit progresses and the picture looks different to what they originally thought it was going to, like that can completely change the mood of it. So you want to just create a different message. Quite often the brief that you started with is not what you end up with music wise, but that's part of the fun of the process as well.
Thanks to Rebecca Grierson, director of Catalyst Music, bringing us neatly to the end of today's show and providing our denouement. So what makes a good playlist? Something that's 2 hours long and doesn't drive your staff mad, and something brilliant and incendiary if you want to get a party started and you're manning the decks in a DJ booth yourself. Playlists are potent because music always gets to the heart of the matter. The association between a place and how your ears interpret it won't be easily forgotten. I guess that's the point. So how do you make a playlist? Use a little heart. If you want to hear my efforts, type in Monocle24 to Spotify to listen to a collection of songs I've casually or carefully curated for your listening pleasure. You've been listening to Culture. My producer was the never random Holly Fisher. Join me again at the same time next week, and in the meantime, be sure to check out the latest edition of Monocle magazine for a special report on Australia's broadcasting heroes. They sure know a thing or two about playlists there as well. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bounds, and thanks for tuning in.